You're listening to Orthodox Teen Talk Online, where teens speak about issues that affect them in everyday life.
Thank you for joining us today on our first recording of Orthodox Teen Talk Online, an Orthodox radio program for teens by the teens. My name is Christopher Shadid, and I'm the president of NAC Teen Soil, and I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Also on our show is Father Anthony Bahu from the Diocese of Wichita and Mid-America, the Teen Soil Spiritual Advisor. He is also the priest of Saints Constantine and Helen Church in Dallas, Texas. Also with us is Amanda Sahauna, the NAC Soil Vice President from St. George Church in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you, Chris. Our topic for today is the sacred gift of life. We will be discussing the importance of human life and focusing mainly on how the Orthodox Church views life.
Now, before we get started, I think that it is important to really understand what life is according to the Orthodox Church and what we mean when we talk about life. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thought on it, at least, is that we are trying to push an agenda just like everyone else. What I mean by that is we're pushing God's agenda when we come to life. Everyone in society today is pushing their view or agenda, whether it's backed by credible evidence or not, on what they believe life is. In our case, as the Orthodox Church's view, we're pushing the agenda of God and His will and what He had intended for us by life. What I view life is to begin at the conception when the egg is fertilized by the sperm. And I do know for a fact, actually, that that is the view of the Orthodox Church.
That's actually exactly right, Amanda, very nicely said. In addition, God creates life out of love, and He creates it so that we can have it here, and then we can also have it with Him in the kingdom.
Also, I have to point out, when we talk about life, particularly in the Orthodox Church, we tend to use the word the sacred gift of life, sanctity. You know, it's holy. I feel that too often in the world, we hear on the news about the right to life, you know, and I feel like it becomes very political. However, when we talk about life, we talk about it as the holy gift, you know, really the specialty of life that God gives to us. And like you said, it begins at conception. And when you look at the Orthodox Church in general, it's really based around life. And so it's just important to realize how truly special the gift of life is and how holy it is when we talk about the sanctity of it.
Many people, Chris, ask, why is life holy? I mean, why would we consider life to be holy? What is special about it? If you don't mind, I wanted everybody to join me in looking at Scripture, at Genesis 1, from the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We know about the story of creation, when God created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and so on and so on. And in every passage of that chapter, we hear that everything that God made, He saw that it was good. But then we hear about the creation of man. He creates mankind. He creates man and woman. And then we hear towards the end of Genesis chapter 1 that after that creation, God saw that it was very good. There's a point to be made about that, which is that everything was made so that it can be a combination of life, with man being the perfection, the perfect creation of God. And with man being on earth, that's what makes life holy, and that's what makes man holy and continue on with the journey towards holiness and the journey towards having that eternal life with God.
That's beautiful, Father. Thank you. In addition to talking about what is human life, Amanda, I believe you had mentioned before, the Orthodox Church says that life begins at conception. I'd like to take a couple minutes here and just talk about what society and the world tends to say about when life begins. I have come in contact with many other people that will argue with me or that have other opinions about when life begins. And I'm sure that you guys have come in contact with that as well. As Orthodox Christians, living in the world that we do today, we often encounter people with differing opinions as to when life begins and what constitutes a human life. Amanda, I'd like to start with you, if you don't mind. Do you have any examples?
Well, that's a good point, Chris. There are many people in society today who have different views. And like I was saying before, everyone's trying to push their own agenda. And today, I mean, we see people I know, especially in the high school realm, for teens especially, there are people who are trying to find their way, and they're listening to whatever they're hearing from the outside world, and they conclude with their own opinions. And a lot of people, they view life as not what it should be, which is, I mean, like we were saying before, sacred, and they're lessening the value of human life, and they'll go to say that, you know, oh, well, a baby's not a human until they're actually born. And we hear that a lot, is that, you know, they're not actually human until they've come out of the birth canal or whatever. Also, I viewed it from a scientific point because I've taken a lot of science courses in my past in high school. A lot of times there will be a chemistry or biology teacher, and they would say, oh, well, there's a point in the process of the third trimester when it's actually a human being. But really, I've actually did some research, and a lot of doctors will go to say that life actually begins at conception when the fertilization happens. And I came across a doctor, his name is Dr. Fritz Baumgartner. He stresses the importance that life begins at fertilization, at the conception. And there's actually a group of researchers called embryologists. There's an actual science called embryology. And they have actually come to a scientific conclusion that life begins at conception. And so it's kind of ironic how a lot of physicians these days will actually do the procedure of abortion or will agree with it when in reality, and also they'll say that life does not begin at conception when it's actually a scientific fact that it does.
And you raise a lot of interesting issues that unfortunately we come across a lot with other people. What are your thoughts on this, Father?
Well, once again, I'm going to bring you scripture, and also, if you don't mind, I will bring you the Fathers. St. Gregory of Nyssa speaks in a letter that he was writing to a political personality of some sort, calling him Your Excellency or Your Excellence. He speaks of, actually, that letter was meant to address the issue of infant death, but in speaking of that, St. Gregory tells us that life outside of the embryo is the same as life in the embryo. I will quote when he says, a human being enters on the scene of life, draws in the air, beginning the process of living with a cry of pain, pays the tribute of a tear to nature, just tastes life's sorrows before any of its sweets have been his, before his feelings have gained any strength, still loose in all his joints, tender, pulpy, unset, in a word, before he is even human. And of course, this is a reference to before he's even had the chance to live a human life. And then he says, such an one with no advantage over the embryo in the womb, except that he has seen the air. So very clearly, St. Gregory equates life outside of the womb with life in the embryo. And in Psalm 139, the author, which in this case is probably King David, says to us, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Then he goes to tell us in verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So clearly, we know biblically and according to the Fathers, life not only exists in the womb from the beginning, but God knows every single one of us, even before we were born.
Absolutely, Father. That's great. Thank you. Also, I'd just like to point out a couple of points as well. Going more along with what Amanda was talking about and what you were saying, Father, about how when we encounter other people, you know, I think too often, you know, we get these other ideas. And, I mean, oftentimes a lot of people will say, even a lot of pro-life Christians will acknowledge the human potential of the early embryo, but will not acknowledge its human status while the embryo moves through the fallopian tubes on its way to implantation. So if you know, you look at that, and they call it the pre-embryo, and a lot of people will say it has the potential, but that it's not quite a human life yet. Others will say that the embryo cannot be considered human because the nervous system is not yet formed. And even more, you know, others will say that the fetus is not truly human and is not a person until it is born. And really, this goes against everything that that the church teaches, because as we said, you know, the church says at conception, that is when a human life begins. And I feel it's important to bring up. And also, another, some people will even say that a newborn child must prove itself worthy of being a person by having good health, potential intelligence, and a number of other things, and being able to sustain itself. And if we look at that view, you know, essentially what these people are saying is that human beings with mental retardation or Alzheimer's disease that really can't support themselves necessarily, then they're not deserving of human life. And really, who are we to say that a child is worthy or not of being a human life? And so, you know, I think these, fortunately, these are some things that a lot of people believe in today's world. And that we encounter as Orthodox Christians when we talk to other people. But we need to understand our faith and what our church, what the Orthodox Church says, and really it's quite simple. As we've said a few times already, life begins at conception.
Those are some very good points that you bring up, Chris. You know how you brought up the thing about health, and some newborn babies need to prove that they're worthy of human life because they need to be healthy or not have mental retardation and things as such. It's basically saying that we're God and, you know, we're placing our ideas on what life really is. None of us are God, and none of us can say what God meant for that life.
I wanted to go back a little bit to what Amanda said earlier regarding people with agendas. The question always comes up to us as to how do we approach a question that comes to us from someone who does not believe in the Bible or who will not take biblical quotes as evidence or quotes from the fathers or holy tradition. People always have this intellectual approach, trying to somehow make some logical sense out of creation. And I wanted you all to know that there is a movement out there today, even within the scientific community, that has to do with not just life, but creation in general, where the scientists themselves are saying, this cannot possibly just have come together as an accident. There's got to be some sort of intelligent design behind it. Now, we call that intelligent design God. And so what is the approach when someone comes to us intellectually? I think it's important for us to come to that platform, come to that level, and give them scientific evidence first. And then the point becomes that if we see that they're open to more discussion, then we can bring scripture to them and we can tell them what God says.
Very good. Thank you, Father. Everything that we've been saying is great, and I think that now that we've defined what life is and really what the Orthodox Church says about life and when it begins, it's good now to talk about a couple of issues, particularly in today's world, that we are dealing with too often. The first being abortion. Obviously, the Church is against abortion, but why? Why does the Church say it's wrong? And these are some issues that I feel it's important to talk about. So, Amanda, if you don't mind me asking, what are your thoughts?
Regardless of how far along a woman is in her pregnancy, you know, to have an abortion is murder, as I see it. And in reality, I mean, that's us playing God with an innocent life, not only someone's life, but the life of an innocent unborn child. As a woman, personally, I don't see it as right.
The Lord tells us in Scripture and in every writing that has come to us regarding issues of life, that life is sacred. We've already established this. Therefore, taking away life is evil. I want to quote to you from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. The Lord says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Therefore, the Lord tells us not just to choose life, but he equates life and death with blessing and cursing, life being the blessing and death being the cursing. And, you know, we don't even have to go that far. Going back to something as simple and as basic as the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. I'm always amazed with how the world, once again, wants to intellectualize these issues. You know, it's okay for us to take life here and there because maybe this is not life yet. We can get into other issues with euthanasia and issues of capital punishment and so on. But, you know, people forget that even though we may, as human beings, take control of life and we may have the power to take it, we will never have the power to create it, and we just don't. That's God's work. And therefore, life then does not belong to humanity. It's not in the hands of human beings. Life is in the hands of God. And he is the one who decides when life starts and when life ends.
Absolutely, Father. And that goes along with the point I was actually just thinking about, and that is, you know, too often when you talk to other people, and their primary argument will be, well, it should be the woman's choice or the mother's choice what happens to her body and what happens to her preborn child. And really, like you were saying, Father, if someone asks you that, my response is always, well, who are we to take away a life, especially after we helped create it, you know, through God?
Well, Chris, now that you brought it up, if I may, let me just make a point about this issue of choice. You know, we've got to go back to basics. We know that the devil is out there. He's alive and well, and he tries to do things that are all against God's commandments and God's teachings. And in this case, the devil's deception is working again. You know, we always try to butter things up and make them look good. And you know that when we make something bad look good, it becomes deceptive. My point is that when we say that this is the mother's choice, it sounds good because, you know, believe in choice. We want choice. We know that God gave us free will. We weren't made to be robots walking around the earth doing everything he tells us to do. He made us, and out of his great love for us, he said, choose. You either choose me or choose another way. But when you butter something up that is bad and make it look good and say, well, you know what, that's the mother's choice. Of course it's the choice. Everybody can choose to do bad things. People can choose to kill. People can choose to sin in all sorts of different ways. So it's very important for us to be careful and not be deceived by this idea of choice and understand where it's coming from and what it actually means.
You bring up a very good point, Father, about the devil working into, I guess, coaxing the mother's choice into an abortion. As I looked up statistics on abortion particularly, came across some statistics, it showed that 93% of all abortions that occur for social reasons only, and the other 7% occur because of health problems or of a rape. It's a good point that you bring up because social reasons are because of an inconvenience, and that's their choice. To have an abortion is because they feel it's something that they want. That's when the will of humanity comes over the will of God.
You know, speaking about choice, it brings up, it brings to my mind another topic, and that is really responsibility. When I think of people having abortions, and you said a lot of times, very often it's for social reasons. It's because people aren't ready to be parents. And the church understands that, and for that reason, you know, the church will say, well, don't have the abortion. There's adoption as an option. However, responsibility comes to mind because, really, the act of sex is a sacred gift for a man and a woman within the confines of marriage. And really, no one should be having sex unless they're married and unless they're ready to have children and to be good fathers and mothers to the child, to help raise the child in the best way possible. And just the thought of responsibility comes to mind because too often people are not responsible about it, and they are not ready for, and I hesitate to say this word, but for lack of a better term, the consequences of having a child, and really the responsibility that comes along with it. Now, I feel like we've talked about abortion a lot. Does anyone else have any comments, any further comments about abortion in general?
I wanted to say to our listeners, if you are interested in taking a look at some things online, I wanted to let you know, I simply went and Googled something like, what did early Christians believe about abortion? It gave me a website that had quotes from the fathers from way back in 74 A.D. all the way up to now, about why abortion is wrong. There were quotes trying to explain that destroying the life of a child is not something we ought to do. Taking away the life of an unborn is not something we ought to do. And also very specific statements by the fathers, St. Basil the Great, St. John Chrysostom, telling us that a child is a child at the moment of conception, and that taking away that life constitutes murder. So I would encourage our listeners to take a look at these wonderful quotes by the church fathers.
In conclusion, I'd like to just make one last comment, and that is that as Orthodox Christians, we should always make sure not to judge those who take away life or have differing views than us when it comes to the sacred gift of life, and especially those, we talked a lot about abortion, people that get abortions. It is essential that we do not judge them. And really what we need to do is to simply be the best Christians we can be, and that is to be friends to them and be supportive of people, and really to spread our faith, not just through our words, but through our actions as well.
This has been Otto, Orthodox Teen Talk Online. If you have any suggestions for our next topic, you can email us at otto@myocn.net.